Hello, this is Michael Hyland with Professor Friss's history class. I'm here with Allison Hyland to conduct an interview about
Allison
American bookstores.
Wetzel
Allison Wetzel now, that's right. So to get started, what is the name of the most significant bookstore to you and the place where it's located?
Farley's Bookshop in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's an independent bookstore.
Nice. And do you still go there, or is this a
Yes,
bookstore
I
of
do.
the past? Okay, you still
Yeah.
go there. Awesome. So a little bit of past experience. When and where was your first experience in a bookstore?
I remember when I was young, I hated reading. Hated reading.
Of course.
I did. And when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I got a book from an independent bookstore, I think in Summit, New Jersey. That was a very long time ago. I think it was Summit, New Jersey, and it was a Jean Owl book. I'll come up with the name in a minute. But from that time on, this was the first book that completely sparked me, and I couldn't read enough after that. I just wanted to sit and read, and I would talk about books with my friends and after this. So I think that was the earliest kind of book related, positive book related
Right.
thing that I memory that I have.
Awesome. So you actually went to that store and bought the book, and that's what really sparked your interest in bookstores?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do have to say that it was a long time. We had been, when we would actually go to the mall, I would stop in bookstores. I couldn't tell you what the names of them were at that time
Right.
when I was in high school. I don't remember the names of them, but once I went to college, New Hope was not very far away, and it was a good kind of joyride from college.
Right.
So when I was 17 is when I started going to Farley's Bookshop.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I guess I was 18. 18 when the first time I went to Farley's, I was 18.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of experience with Farley's.
I do. In fact, one of the greatest things is I was there so much and so frequently. I got to know a whole bunch of people who worked there, and I ended up moving to Lambertville right across from New Hope. So I would walk to the shop every day, and I met this girl, Jen, and we got to be really good friends, and we're good friends to this day. And now it was her father's store, and now she's the owner of the store.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so she's my best friend.
I think I've heard you talk about Jen before, so.
You've met her. She was my maid of honor at my wedding, and I think she was at a couple of parties here. So I'm sure you've met her.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Who knew? So in general, what do you think this bookstore means to you? What are the sentiments that you get from this bookstore itself?
Well, I can tell you from that time, I would take hours and peruse the new books and get a million ideas. Oh my goodness, just the cookbooks. There was different sections. So whatever the mood was, I would be in the cookbook section pretty much all the time. But I would go to the foreign section or the sci-fi section, depending on the mood I was in. And a lot of times I would have a specific book when it would, you know, you'd hear about a book coming out and I would go there and order it. So when it came in, I would go and pick it up and things like that. But they had this really great back room that had just the greatest kind of conglomerate of books, and you could just sit there. And I was a healer. Yes, I did massage therapy for years. So I would go there and find healing books and find all kinds of books. So they had so many different sections that you could sit, and it was almost like a romance with books, because you would walk in there and you would smell the books and it was just like home. And it is, I mean, Farley's, if you talk to anybody who goes to Farley's, it is an institution that has been there, gosh, I guess since the early 60s. It opened the late 50s, early 60s. And my friend's father had actually bought it. It was a bookstore before. So the bookstore, I don't know when the original one had opened. So it's always been there, and it's a real institution. And New Hope is a very large art community. So you had a whole section of authors that were local authors.
Wow, that's cool.
It was thrilling to me that that I could come into the store and the author was actually shopping for books.
Right
there.
Wow, that is really cool.
Yeah, and poets. Poets would be there reading their poems, and I was writing poetry. So hearing poets who lived, you know, blocks away from me, or a 5-minute walk, you know, just was thrilling. So it was definitely a community. And you would always say, you know, on Saturday night, I'll meet you in front of Farley's. You know, how many times? Or, you know, my friends and I, there was always a plethora of coffee houses around. So we would very often meet at Farley's and pick up either magazines or whatever, get a book. And then we'd go and we'd play Pense and have coffee and just talk for hours. And a lot of us had met each other either through the bookstore directly or through somebody who worked at the bookstore. You know? So it was just a fantastic, tight, I guess, community. There was really a wonderful thing.
Wow. That sounds like something that's really hard to sum up in a few words or in one specific idea. It's like,
oh my goodness. In a very big way, Farley's is almost like a home. You know, my friend has told me stories of people who, you know, when she was there, her friends would come in, and now her friends are coming in with their kids.
Right.
And the other women that she has known her whole life come in with their grandkids.
Wow.
And they're looking, you know, so, and I actually, you guys got many books from Farley when you were young. Yeah, that's absolutely true. All of, you know, I used to get you guys big, huge books, and I could get any Native American books there for you guys, and just all kinds of books. Books that I actually inherited back from you for my kids and from Farley's.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad I picked you to interview for this. That's awesome.
It is part of the heart of a community that so often is lost now. You know, when I moved from Lambertville up here, losing Farley's really was a big, huge loss for me. You know, just to go there, and sometimes you know, a lot of times you wouldn't buy a book, you would just look what is new and stuff like that, and then you just meet somebody and sit there and have a conversation for half an hour, you know, just talking and chatting. And you know, Mr. Farley, before he passed, would come down and see me, and oh my gosh, give me a big cute hug. And you know, it was a family. It was part of the family. Hang on one second.
Yep,
are you
no
guys
problem.
Okay?
No worries.
I apologize. I apologize.
So Farley's the paperback of knowledge watering holes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just camaraderie and love of community. Farley's also really supports the community and works for local authors. They have authors' writing days, and they actually go out, and if an author is having a presentation or something, Farley's will bring similar books, their books and other books, and go to the presentation to support the community in that way. So, that's a really exciting part of it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's a lot about what Farley's has done for that specific community, which is fantastic and like nothing I've ever seen around Richmond or Harrisonburg.
No,
Like you
no.
said, I guess these are places where it's been lost. Bookstores like that, at least.
So many indie bookstores have closed because of Borders and Barnes and Noble. And unfortunately, I had picked when I moved here, there was a Borders and a Barnes and Noble. And I used to go to Borders hands down because it was just a much more comfortable place, and you could actually sit there and look at books like for an hour before anybody went, excuse me, which is what I was used to at Farley's. At Barnes and Noble, they have big, huge, enormous places and lots of books, but it's not a place you can do that. It's a go in, get your book, leave. Have a cup of coffee and something in the corner if you want, but not, it's not a place to really hang out or meet or,
So it's kind of Walmart versus mom and pop shops,
Absolutely,
or like
absolutely.
Bud Light versus microbreweries.
Go microbrew all
That's
the
what we say. So yeah, that's awesome. So what do you think, I guess cognitively or in the context of knowledge, what do you think that bookstores like this do for society? Do you think there's a bigger picture?
Oh yeah, I think they can spark in a community. Definitely, everybody I know from Farley's, I never had a bad conversation with somebody. Even people who I had no idea who they were, you'd spark up a conversation, or you'd just see them picking up a book and be like, "Oh my gosh, have you read that? Like, do you know anything?" And you would just have a fantastic, and it didn't matter if you ever mentioned the book again. You always had some sort of genuinely interesting conversation. And I found when I went to college, my first job at the college was I worked in the library. And I found that the people I saw who came to the library a lot and kind of over the semesters I could see, or over the months I could kind of get to know. You could have a sort of conversation like that. It wasn't quite so standoffish or anything. I was recently in Barnes and Noble to look for a book for Kylie, and they had a decent size children's section, yet the books I was looking for weren't there. And I know that they're sitting on the shelf in Farley's. So I think that when you have a bookstore that is, all bookstores have to turn a profit and it's a business. But there are different philosophies about how you make that money. So I find in Barnes and Noble there's a whole lot of more gizmo stuff, whereas at Farley's I was far more likely to buy two books, maybe, big size books, and to order books. I have never ordered books from, well, until Borders went out of business, or Barnes and Noble. I never go there to order books. I will always order them from Farley's, and they hold them till I get down there. And that's where I will always order my books from, because I can't you know, Borders has a whole lot of books that are based on TV.
Yeah, as seen on TV.
So they have an enormous section that is based on TV and based on movie characters. But, you know, at Farley's, I don't, you know, you'll have, they have one circular rack of them, you know, of the $1.99, $2 books, you know, that people are looking for. But they'll have a really amazing edition of Wind in the Willows that has really gorgeous pictures in it that might cost $5 more or $10 more than the one that's in Barnes & Noble. But it's actually a much more beautiful book to own. So that's another difference that I have found, that the productions of books that I have found at Barnes & Noble are much more run-of-the-mill. And that if you want a nicer copy of it, you pay just the same as Farley's, you know, but you have to order it, and it's not on the shelves, and it's not, you know. So I think community-wise, Farley's actually stirs the reading of young people. I think people, one, you can't go through town without seeing the bookstore.
Right.
And seeing people in there all the time. There's not a time when there's not people in Farley's. So I think just having it part of the community, kids hear of it, and they want to know what that's about, and they want to know what, you know, what's going on. And Farley's has book time, so that, or story time. Not all the time, but, you know, Borders does this now, or not Borders, Barnes & Noble does this as well. But Farley's has not only poetry reading, but book readings, author readings.
Right.
Almost weekly. You know, they, it's constant. So I think they have a center for community that a mall atmosphere can't provide.
And what do you think a community like that can do for society? What impact do you think that makes, you know, the Farleys?
Yeah, anytime you have a more literate society, yay. Literacy definitely is a good thing. Also, the wide variety of reading. You know, you have some people who get into niche reading and stuff like that. And, you know, we were all, I don't know, oh my gosh, forever ago, I can't remember exactly when, there was Belgareth and the Belgariad, and, you know, when all of and the Malorian and all of those books, when they came out, and we were just like, when's the next one coming out? And, you know, that was, oh my gosh, that was so long ago. You know, that, even though they were sci-fi, the readership of the people is higher when you have a bookstore that you can walk to. You know, a mall, there's very few people who can walk to.
And what would you define?
Even public transportation, you know, you don't, it's harder to bring heavy bags with books and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, it definitely limits.
Yeah.
So, I think in like a large city, you know, you have Richmond is right there. So I think probably there are, pardon me, there's probably indie bookstores around you.
There's one very near Jadu's house, but
and that would be in walking distance. So there was a community who could walk to it, who could support it, right? We had, up until a few months ago, we had an indie bookstore here And every time I went to go to it, I couldn't find a parking space. And, you know, it was hard because it wasn't within walking distance.
Right.
It was within walking distance of the people who lived right around it. And it was in a community that was definitely affluent enough. But I don't think they would have been people to support it. They're most likely online buyers.
Right.
So that's the whole other thing of not even creating a community, just buying it Amazon. I mean, the great destroyer. yeah, you know, that has definitely disintegrated community.
Yeah, yeah. And so it kind of sounds like it's there's a much deeper sense of community and a kind of synergy that just doesn't happen with either big commercial bookstores or online buying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't, I have some friends who have published books through Amazon. They have a self-published kind of a place where you pay a small fee and you publish your book and then people have it sent right to them and that kind of a thing. And I find that I haven't bought them.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't gone online to buy them. I would rather a book, you know, personally. I am not somebody who would rather read on a computer. And I have many friends who are like that. I have many, many friends who have the Kindle and they love their, you know, 5,000 books that are on their Kindle and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of books that are just, you know, they'll go on sale for the Kindle or the Nook or whatever, you know, whichever one you have, you know, they'll go on sale so that you download the book so much easier, but the paper one won't go on sale.
So you think there's something to be said for the tangible paperback?
Oh, absolutely. And they actually have found specifically in your brain that you use a larger portion of your brain and have better recall if you are reading a book and turning the pages and being active with it. You actually learn better. And on a tablet, you do not recall as much of the information as you do from a book. And, you know, I've been reading a ton about the brain because, you know, I've got two kids, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really critical. And they have, oh my gosh, they probably have 1,000 books. Pretty close to it. Maybe 800.
Yeah.
But they do. You know, they have two bookshelves that I can't fit another book in.
Yeah.
And because it is just so critical for their brains and for their beings. And there is a very different kind of relationship you have when you're sitting with a book and you're reading and you become part of that. And then when you're flipping through a screen, the light on the screen and everything, it kind of keeps you farther out from. So that has, that for me is a very big deal. You know, when I read a book, I'm in there. Don't bother me because I'm not here right now.
Right.
You know, I'm in the book.
Yeah.
And I think that's a critical part of reading books.
Awesome. So let's talk about over time, because you've been invested in Farley's for a rather long time now.
I have.
18 years old. Wow. So how do you think that the bookstore, I guess you're talking about it as a community, how do you think the environment in the bookstore community has changed over time, and maybe what impacts does that have for American readers?
30 years. I have been going to Farley's for 30 years.
Wow.
And, I, you know, having Jen, the owner, as my best friend, I hear a lot of the inside stuff from the bookstore. So I know for a fact that Amazon has had a huge impact on, you know, when I first went to the bookstore and all through my 20s. So you're talking about the late 80s into the 90s. No matter what time you went into Farley's, there was a line. You had 2, 3 to 10 people in front of you. And if you went on a weekend, forget it. Like sometimes you'd have to walk into the store and go, oh, but I've got to come back later because there's actually no room for me. It's packed, you know? And in that time period, I think there was such a love affair with books. And there was just so, you know, there's always been good books written, you know, time and time again, but I think there was kind of, I don't know if there was more money available, but I know for a fact that people physically bought books there. There's always a crowd, always, always, always. And now they have days where they've sold 5 books or 3 books, you know, whereas prior, no way, no way. It was, you know, 5 books a minute. You know, it was really a big difference.
So do you think that community is being lost now?
In Farley's, it is not, because I know that there are diehards that are still going to Farley's. And I know that there's, I mean, I've seen people in there bringing their grandkids and stuff. And I know that there's a lot of restaurants around there. So when people leave dinner on a Saturday night, Farley's is open until 11, 12 o'clock. So they actually stroll into the store. So in that way, it is still part of the community and still part of the community. When you have something that's been there that long, you know, I think it definitely is harder to get rid of. But just like the store right near me that closed up a couple months ago, you know, it's very, very hard to make a living and to keep a staff and everything right now because Amazon and Barnes and Noble very actively puts indie stores out of business. So I do know a lot, Diana Gabaldon and a lot of Diana Harkness and some other women. I don't know about men. I just not that I'm saying men aren't doing, but I know specifically there are many women who have recently come out with blockbuster series, like really taken the world by storm. Go through indies, their local indie stores, and that's who they're promoting through, and that's who they're going through. And when they do their big, huge book sales, they have like a very high percentage of indie stores that they go to first before they'll go to Amazon or something else. Or not Amazon, Barnes and
Barnes and
Noble,
Noble, yeah.
you know. So I think that that's a very positive thing because indie bookstores are really in jeopardy. And you don't get that kind of intimate knowledge of books. You know, you know, when I go to Barnes and Noble, because they're 2 miles from my house,
Yeah,
you know,
convenient.
I'll go down there and I'll say, well, have you heard about blah, blah, blah book? And people won't know it. And they'll go, well, what section is that in? You know, whereas when you go to an indie bookstore, I think they're more invested. They're not just employees, they're a little more invested in the success of the business. You know, they understand that if they don't sell books, they don't have a job. You know, it's a
Absolutely.
little less than, you know, Barnes and Noble being this enormous conglomerate and you're a faceless person. So I definitely think there's a big difference. In society-wise, I think that indie bookstores, being that they do have intimate knowledge of books and can recommend books in a bigger way, definitely aid society because society cannot be society without a heart and without a conscience. So I think that that is something that indie bookstores tie into.
Very nice. Yeah, that's good. So you said that you had to move away from Farley's.
I
Very
did.
sad time. How has that, maybe just a few points on how that has affected you and your reading, and your
Oh,
experience with books?
so very sad. So very sad. I order books, and sometimes they have to hold them for a month before I can get down there. There are times when I'll say, I don't know when I'm gonna get down there, and Jen will just she just has this little pile. And then everybody knows, just don't touch Elsie's pile, and there have been books where I have bought through Amazon, and because I need it now, and I can't get down to Farley's to buy it. So, and every single time it bothers me. And I know every single book that I have bought not at Farley's. I know exactly which ones they are. And it bothers me, so I know that I've brought the kids into, and in fact, I can tell you that when my godmother passed a few years ago, we went to Ohio, and there was an indie bookstore that she would buy books for my kids there. So we found the bookstore, and in honor of her, I bought three books for the kids there. And I wrote in the books, in honor of Aunt Dolores, bought at the Learned Owl. It was a fantastic, cute little store.
That's awesome.
And it didn't have, I don't know, thousands of square feet that a Barnes and Noble does. And they say, we will, there's a sign, we will get you any book you want. And I think there's another small part of what the stores do is they are small, so they don't, there are certain books that they can't keep all the time. So you might actually go out of there buying a different book and get a different perspective. So I think that that's actually a positive, I believe.
So it does give you a different perspective. That's cool. One last question that I have is, what do you think, personally for you, what do you think a few things about you are that these books have sparked, or that your experience at this bookstore, Farley's, has sparked for you?
Oh my goodness. How many hours do we have? Yes, it has opened up worlds. It has, as somebody who'd really love, genuinely love to be a writer, and I have had different careers up until now. So, wow, when I was writing poetry, I would buy poetry books and wow, you understand the richness of what you can do by experiencing authors that I didn't know who they were. And I remember I went into an indie bookstore in Manhattan and I was just looking, and this guy put this book in my hand and he's like, listen, it's 50 cents, just get it. Just get it, right? And there was a small wall of used books, and it was a poetry book that I still have till today. And it's just a brilliant, brilliant book.
That's awesome.
So, nobody's going to do that over the internet. It's not going to. So, it has sparked ideas. And another thing is, my kids, for stories at night, they'll say, okay, mom, Three Little Pig story, and it's got a girl pig and a cat, and they do this. And extemporaneous, I just come up with these stories, right? But I pull from books that I've read and characters that I've read about. How else are you going to know about character development or story development or any of it if you're not a really good reader? If you don't read, they say to write the book that you want to read, but how are you going to know what book you want to read if you don't have a million ideas from books? So I think that there's a quiet place inside of ourselves that genuinely needs to curl up with a book. Because your own, like, I never wanted to see the Harry Potter movies because they could never compare to my imagination.
Yeah.
And how are you going to develop an imagination if everything is just handed to you on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. So when you read a book and you develop your own images of who these people are and what the scenery actually looks like, it was way more grandiose in my imagination than they could possibly put on film.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's another, you know, they always say the book is so much better than the movie.
Right.
And it's really, really hard, specifically now with Disney getting into TV and, oh, man, just taking over, putting all of their ideas into kids' imaginations instead of enhancing your imagination. I think in a very big way, it's dampening kids' imagination because everything has to do with one of those characters. Whereas reading a book, you really see it for yourself. And your world, you can read the exact same book that I read, and your world is going to look entirely different.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a really critical thing, to have your own world.
Right. You know? Yeah.
I think that is something that you can order books online. You can go to Barnes & Noble. But when you go to an indie store, every single one I've ever been in, there is a homey feel and a trust that you have that you're going to walk out of there with a gem.
That's awesome.
So I think it's so critical for indies to stay open.
That's awesome. And that's a fantastic way to wrap it up. Perfect ending point right there. All right. Well, I appreciate your time. And,
absolutely.
Thank you for the insight and the interesting perspective. And I'm going to shut the recording off now.
Okay.